Welcome to Rising Moon Astrology. This is Mary Pat Lynch of Rising Moon Astrology. Welcome. In addition to this podcast, I have a website at risingmoonastrology.com where you can find information about readings that I offer and how to contact me if you'd like to explore astrology one-on-one. I also am on Facebook and Instagram if you want to follow me there. Currently, I'm podcasting for each new and full moon, but I do write shorter posts that I put on the website and Facebook and Instagram and can be mailed to you directly if you sign up for my mailing list on the website. So there are lots of ways to follow me, learn about what I do, and learn more about astrology, especially the astrology of the moon and her cycles. It is Tuesday, the 7th of July, and we are through our eclipse cycle for summer. There will be more eclipses later this year, but for now, we are left to process and integrate and seek to understand everything that we've just been through. It is still reverberating. It is still resounding. It is still echoing in our bodies, in our hearts, in our minds. So as we move into this waning cycle, our task is specifically to understand and integrate. So let's take a look first at the specific dates and times that we're looking at for this waning lunar cycle. The disseminating moon phase will begin tomorrow, Wednesday, July 8th, 6:25 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, with the moon in early Pisces. On Friday, July 10th, we'll reach the waning trine, the easy flowing connection between the sun and the moon. This will arrive at 2:08 a.m., so for Western time zones, it will actually happen very late on Thursday night. The moon will now be in late Pisces. This means that when we reach the last quarter moon on Sunday, July 12th at 7:29 p.m., the moon will be in Aries. For the waning sextile, Wednesday, July 15th, at 12:50 p.m., the moon will be in gentle, if stubborn, Taurus. We'll head into the balsamic moon on Thursday, July 16th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. The moon will be in Gemini, which is an interesting sign for a balsamic moon. And then we will head into our second new moon in Cancer for this year, with the moon in very late Cancer. On Monday, July 20th, at 1:33 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, we're going to be covering some interesting territory, as we always do, where the moon will be helping us connect with and understand some of the larger cycles in which we find ourselves in this very interesting and challenging year, 2020. As I begin this overview, I want to highlight some of the larger aspect patterns that will be true throughout this waning phase. In other words, for the entire roughly 2 weeks as we move from the full moon to the new moon. With the sun moving through the latter degrees of Cancer, the sun will basically be opposing the Capricorn group throughout this period. Jupiter, Pluto, Saturn, plus the asteroid Pallas Athena are all very close together at the end of Capricorn. Within that Capricorn group, Jupiter-Pluto conjunction will continue to be a force. Perhaps not precisely conjunct, but certainly close enough for its effects to be felt. So this Capricorn group, Saturn-Pluto, now with Jupiter, has been bringing us challenges for the last 3 years. Pluto's role is to show us where structures that are related to the sign, so Capricorn, structures basic to the world, structures of power, structures of authority, physical structures, things that help us maintain our lives, are not working, have become toxic. And Jupiter's role is to make those Plutonian views so big we can't possibly miss them. So we are still meant to keep our focus on what's happening in Capricorn. Not the only thing happening in the sky by any means, or the only thing happening in our lives, but a very weighty and important place where we are getting information about the state of the world and the state of our societies. We are meant to be experiencing and processing what we learn through our emotions and our bodies, not only intellectually. And this processing through emotion and body is signified by the ongoing Sun in Cancer opposition to this Capricorn group. So one of the things this implies is that for the next several weeks, as indeed for so much of this year, good self-care is essential. The idea is not to peace out and avoid everything, but to support ourselves, support our physical health, our emotional well-being, so that we can process, integrate, learn, recenter, heal what needs to be healed, and return our attention to the matters at hand. So, as we enter the disseminating moon phase with the moon in Pisces, we are going to be asked to reflect. This moon will be applying to square Venus. Venus is in Gemini. Venus is ready to look around, see what's in the environment, and talk about it. Talk about it to everybody who will listen. But with a moon in Pisces applying to square a Venus in Gemini, we will need to decide, do we speak up and process externally, or do we remain reflective and process internally? Can we trust Moon in Pisces, our perceptions? Are we clear on what we're seeing and what it means to us? At the same time, Venus is going to be sextiling Mars and Chiron. This also is ongoing. So that part of what Venus in Gemini is curious about, is exploring, is innovating with, is getting new ideas about, is how Mars, now ready to take direct action, is really close to the planet where we are wounded, where we can be triggered, where we feel vulnerable to hurt. On Friday, July 10th, we reach the waning trine. The moon is still in Pisces. We'll be trining a late Cancer sun. This opens up the possibility within this disseminating phase for very deep listening. And the depth of listening possible is signified by the moon conjunct Neptune, so that Neptune as well is trining the sun at this time. Again, Neptune can signify confusion. This may highlight for us where we are confused, where we get emotionally vulnerable, emotionally triggered. But Neptune can also signify depth, psychological depth, spiritual depth, the ability to look beneath the surface, to, for one specific example, listen to messages that may come to us through our dreams or through a variety of visioning techniques. So while this waning trine is not a time when we simply want to accept everything we hear or see, it does hold out the possibility for some very deep insights that can help us with this ongoing project of understanding, integrating, and healing. So having been in Pisces, that last quarter moon square sun is in Aries and is saying, wake up. A couple of things happen right around this last quarter moon. The day before, on July 11th at 5:08 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Chiron stations retrograde, which means that Chiron has been moving quite slowly already and will basically be standing still at the moment of the last quarter moon. In the morning before the last quarter moon, Mercury will station direct, July 12th, 4:26 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So Chiron is slowing down and turning retrograde in Aries to give us a chance to reflect on where we are wounded, where we are triggered, what we want to do about that. Very close to the time that Mercury is stationing direct, both therefore moving very slowly. Mercury in the sign of Cancer, ready to help us reflect on what we learned during this emotional retrograde about our vulnerabilities, about our emotions. So this moon squares the sun and therefore also the Capricorn group. Because remember, sun and the Cap group are opposing each other at this time. The moon is sitting between Lilith and Eris. Eris, the chaos goddess. So this is not, you know, a moon in Aries is not quiet anyway. This Aries moon is stimulated by getting information from fierce feminine energies who are done with things not working in the world that are putting all of us at risk. This moon trines the south node and sextiles the north node of the moon, while the sun continues to trine Neptune. Venus is pulling away from a sextile to Mars and Chiron and tightly trine Juno. So a very active last quarter moon, a lot going on, several wake-up calls to look at how we're acting, how we're speaking, what's triggering us. During this phase, we will reach a waning sextile. The moon will be in Taurus, a reminder that we are playing a long game. The moon will be sextile the sun while trining Pluto. This is a message, a reminder that our inner transformation, our ability to continue the process of transforming within, depends on ongoing self-care. If we let ourselves get exhausted, if we get carried away by what is wrong, what is hurtful, what is triggering us, then we derail our process of inner transformation. And we don't really want to do that right now. We need to realize with the moon in Taurus that the changes we seek within and in society won't be quick, especially if we want them to be enduring. This is not an argument to stop struggle. It is instead about pacing and not wanting to burn out. When we get to the balsamic moon, the moon's in Gemini, which is an outwardly focused, curious, innovative, clever sign. This is interesting to think about with regard to a balsamic moon when we are letting go, when we are composting what no longer works for us to prepare for the new moon to come. This is where Venus is and has been. And in fact, the balsamic moon is applying to conjunct Venus while sextiling Chiron and Mars. So we're still talking about thinking about direct action and where we are vulnerable, where we are wounded. So I see this balsamic moon as raising the question about perspective and perception. If we change up our perspective, what new things appear in our view? What we see is scientifically and cognitively, as well as emotionally and in every other way. What we see is what we allow ourselves to see. If we truly don't believe something can possibly exist, we won't see it when it's right in front of us. So our perceptions are never entirely, completely open. They cannot be. And yet we can create more openness. So I'm thinking that our criterion for what we let go of at this particular balsamic moon are going to be those frames, those ways of looking at the world, of perceiving the world, that get in the way of us being open to new ideas, of us being able to see new possibilities that are right in front of us if we can only adjust our view to allow them to be possible. The new moon in Cancer, Monday, July 20th, I'll be saying a lot more about closer to that date. It will be a kind of rebirth, I think. I think that's how it's going to feel to us. As though having come through everything this world has brought to us, this year has brought to us so far, that we have a chance to be reborn in a new way, with a new approach, a new heart, a new understanding. So I'm looking forward to journeying toward that new moon in Cancer and the possibility of new birth with you. This is Mary Pat Lynch of Rising Moon Astrology, inviting you to dive in to the possibilities offered during this waning cycle. Certainly, looking at the world in these half-cycle bites, new moon to full moon to new moon, can seem pretty fast, and so it is. And yet everything that happens in our lives is because of decisions we make and actions we take on a day-to-day basis. So being able to reference our feelings, our thoughts, our physical sensations, the choices we make, back to what's happening in the sky, can be facilitated by looking at what the moon is up to. And that's what I'm offering here. As always, thank you for listening.